I want to talk about Psalms 8 and 144, because the Hebrew titles of those Psalms, and you can see it also in the Septuagint, imply that these were written after David's victory over Goliath. So they were written really as a reflection by David on his victory. And it's really a kind of soliloquy. I think he sort of came out and maybe that night and just had these thoughts. He says, 144, "Blessed be Yahweh, my rock. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle." It was his fingers, of course, that were critical in slinging the stone. "My source of grace, my fortress, my shield." He didn't have a shield. He didn't have any armor because God was his armor. And again in Psalm 8, "You have established strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy." Remember the terrible, blasphemous words of Goliath. And then David looks up that night at the sky, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers." Then in Psalm 144, he thanks God for helping his fingers to sling the stones. He says, "When I consider the work of your fingers, the death of Goliath, the creating of the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor." This, in the first instance, is David after the victory over Goliath, crowned with glory and honor. And yet he's saying, "Who am I? I'm just a kid. I'm a shepherd kid. Who am I?" And of course, those words are quoted in the New Testament, in Hebrews 2, about the Lord Jesus. So straight away, you see David's victory over Goliath as a type of the victory of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Now, there was nobody who would go out and fight Goliath. And we think of Isaiah 59 talking about the Lord Jesus. "He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and put on the helmet, which is salvation." Just like David didn't take the armor of Goliath. And then he disarms Goliath after he's killed him in 1 Samuel 17:51. And that's pretty well quoted in Colossians 2:15, where we read that on the cross, the Lord Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them, just as David did over Goliath. So clearly, although I'm not a great fan of types, I have to say that this victory of David over Goliath was definitely intended to be understood as looking ahead to the Lord's victory on the cross. Goliath is covered in brass from head to foot. It's stressed four times in 1 Samuel 17, 5 and 6. And the word for brass is related to the word for serpent, which is clearly a symbol of sin. And the whole idea of a stone bringing a great person crashing down, this is, of course, Daniel 2, where again the stone refers to the Lord Jesus. And the metals, brass and iron that feature within the image crop up again in the description of Goliath. And, of course, Daniel 7 makes the various metals equal to various animals, such as a lion and a bear, which also occur there in the story, where he says, "I triumphed over the lion and the bear, I can triumph over this man." And you think of the scene in Revelation 5 where you have men and angels weeping because nobody could open the book of life until the Lord Jesus dies on the cross. And again, this is sort of David, I think, genuinely quite amazed. "Won't any of you go to fight him? Is it got to be me?" And he takes the skull of Goliath, or the head of Goliath, which of course turned into a skull, and takes it away. And Golgotha means the place of the skull, or Goliatha, literally the skull of Goliath. And so again, you keep on and on seeing these sort of hints towards the whole thing looking ahead to the Lord's death on the cross. And Saul's inability to win the battle, this is like the law's failure and the failure of all kind of legalism in order to win the victory. And he refuses, David refuses all human strength, all the armour, etc. And quite clearly, as I say, it looks ahead to the Lord's victory. He says in John 14, verse 1, just before he goes out to, as it were, fight with sin on the cross, "Let not your heart be troubled." And this is quoting David's words to Saul, 1 Samuel 17:32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And he's absolutely certain of his victory. David has absolute faith here. He says that he's going to smite you, Goliath, and I will take your head off from you, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And again, John 14, 31, Jesus says, "I'm going to die, that the world may know." And so it does all look forward to the Lord's victory. And yet there's a dimension in this which helps us to understand the pressure that was on him a bit more. If David had lost, then Israel were to be the servants of the Philistines, the slaves of the Philistines. But if he won, the Philistines were to be their slaves. And you could say that in a sense, there was the same huge wager almost hanging over the Lord Jesus, that so much depended upon him. Never was so much owed, not to so few, as Churchill said, but to one. Never was so much owed by so many to one man. And you see how David, I think, was motivated in this by his love of the glory of God, I suppose, but also he pricks up his ears when he hears that whoever succeeds in killing Goliath will get the king's daughter. And he seems to like that because he asks a couple of times, the record shows, about that. So the Lord Jesus was motivated by us. And David picks up 5 stones, but he only throws 1. And you ask why he did that. Why did he take 5 stones? Well, I would suggest it's because later on we are to read on 4 occasions that the brothers, or possibly sons, or certainly the giant relatives of Goliath, were all killed by David's men. And in each case, they were motivated clearly by David's example, and they wanted to do, in essence, what David had done. And so we are those men. He took the 5 stones because I think his ambition was such that he wanted to take out Goliath and his 4 giant either brothers or relatives. But actually, God in his wisdom left that to David's men to do because they were inspired by what David did to Goliath. And we think of how Jonathan comes up to him and says, "Look, you know, I'm the king's son. Maybe I should have been the one who did this, but I didn't, but you did." And he gives him his sword and his bow, and he makes a covenant with him. And Jonathan looks forward to us quite clearly. And so all these things are great encouragement that we didn't do it. We did not do it, but he did. And in the strength of that victory that he won, we are thereby inspired to do our thing for him. And of course, the men of Israel rise up and go chasing after the Philistines, and they win these great battles. And it seems from 1 Chronicles 11, 13 and 14 that soon after the fight with Goliath, there was another fight with the Philistines, at, well, the RV says Ephes Damim, which was the same place where David fought Goliath. And again, the men of Israel fled away, just as they did from Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. But those who held on were given a great salvation, a great deliverance, just as David is described as winning over Goliath. So those men who stayed and fought and didn't run away were doubtless inspired by David's victory over the Philistine at the same place. And this then should be the continual inspiration of the cross to us, that he did it, even though we would not have done it and we would not have risen up to that level of faith. He showed us what human beings are capable of. He showed us the possibilities that there are within being human, that human nature is not a chain, is not a leash that ties us down unduly, that stops us. Rather, Jesus showed us what's possible for those who are fully human, because he was fully human, that we cannot blame our humanity. Instead, we are to look to him there. And although we're convicted on one hand of this deep sense that he did what I cannot and would not have done, yet also we are inspired to, in the spirit of his victory, to go forward and do in essence what he did.